APM, American Public Media. This is the American Radio Works podcast. I'm Stephen Smith. A new system for credentialing colleges of education comes online this year. The idea is to lift up the teaching profession by making teacher training programs more rigorous and changing the way they are evaluated. The new credentialing system will tie schools of education more closely to the K-12 schools where graduates go to work. This week on the podcast, we talk with one of the main architects of the new accreditation system. He is Arthur Levine, president of the Woodrow Wilson National Fellowship Foundation and former president of Teachers College at Columbia University. Arthur Levine, welcome to the podcast.
It's my pleasure to be with you.
So tell us what's better about these new teaching standards, these new standards for education schools compared with the old. Give an example or two.
Accreditation in the past was just awful. It wasn't working. The standards were low. Low-performing institutions were more likely to be accredited than high-performing institutions. What's happened recently is there were two accreditation organizations in teacher education. They merged, and they developed a brand new set of standards. And those standards call for raising admissions requirements to a minimum of a B to get into an education school, accrediting not only universities, but anybody who provides teacher education. So it's common standards across the field. What it also calls for is a focus on learning. That is the outcomes that students are expected to achieve in the graduates' classes. And it also calls for a full clinical year of experience so that students who are being prepared to become teachers spend a year working in a school learning how to teach in addition to the theory of teaching.
So laypeople might be surprised to learn that some education schools, in fact, some of the best education schools, actually have not been accredited in the past. How did that system come about?
There's no need to be accredited for your graduates to get a job. The reason that the most selective universities, not all, but most, haven't joined is that it's seen as having less value until now, perhaps, and that it gives legitimacy to a group of institutions, some of which are really quite poor in quality. It costs a lot of money and it takes a lot of time.
And are these new standards, are they going to be mandatory or is it still an opt-in system?
It's always going to be an opt-in system until states either require it or school districts require it. The standards, though, will raise the current floor, and also they note exemplary programs, so they'll create something that looks more akin to a ceiling, so that it raises the whole standard of the field.
What about in terms of the world picture? I understand you argue that these standards are important because American students aren't keeping pace with students in other countries, and part of the reason is that the U.S. doesn't train its teachers in the same way that other countries do.
That's an important piece of it. The simple reality is the United States trailing a number of countries around the world in subjects as basic as math, science, and reading. And we live in an international economy, so it's a competitive disadvantage for the country, for our children, if they can't achieve those kinds of international standards. One of the difficulties we have is that teaching as a profession hasn't attracted as many of the best and the brightest as have other systems. We need to do more of that. We need to raise the standards for admission. We need to raise the standards for graduation. We need to make the experience more rigorous. We need to move those programs into schools so students have practice in addition to a whole series of theoretical courses.
Is it also the case that in other countries that they, among other things, pay their teachers better and the profession is held in higher esteem in those countries?
They don't always pay more money. They do have higher esteem. A number of university systems around the world tie admissions to labor market needs. In the United States, we overproduce teachers and we produce them in the areas in which we don't really need them. So we have twice as many teachers being produced as the market can actually accommodate, and we're producing them in elementary education rather than what are called the STEM disciplines, science, technology, engineering, and math, for which the need is extraordinary.
Now, I've read some criticism of this push for the higher standards. One of the criticisms is that it's essentially blaming teachers again for the problems in American education.
And I guess I'm getting tired of pointing, trying to figure out who's responsible for what. I don't think they're heroes or they're villains in this story. What's happened is the world has changed. The United States is moving from a national analog industrial economy to a global digital information economy. Every one of our social institutions, not just schools, not just universities, but media, government, healthcare, financial sector, were all created for the former. And the result is they all appear to be broken today.
One of the other concerns that I've heard is that by increasingly tying a teacher's career, performance, pay, and other things to the outcomes of the students, the demand for outcomes, the pressure for outcomes, is distorting the process of teaching.
I think this confuses a whole series of issues. Industrial societies ask for very different things out of their institutions than do information economies. So industrial societies are about process. If you look at our schools, they really do look like assembly lines, which was the epitome of industrial society. We take children, we move them in age batches through 12 years of schooling for 180 days a year for class length dictated by the Carnegie Foundation in 1910. We've learned a lot, and information economies don't care as much about the common process or common time. What they care about are common outcomes. The real question is, what are kids learning, not what are you teaching them? What have they actually gotten out of the instruction?
You know, the U.S. has a long history of local control in public education. How are you going to get local school boards and local school districts and local teachers on board with these changes to how teachers are prepared?
One of the things that we're moving toward right now are common standards. We are going to have similar standards in most states in terms of what students are expected to learn.
This is the Common Core state standards that 40-plus states are adopting in the next school year.
Yes, I wish I'd said that. But yes, it is. As we move toward those common standards, what's going to happen is the curriculum in schools of education is going to evolve to include those. That's the theory behind it. The devil's in the details. Can we get the common standards adopted? We really haven't prepared the teacher force for it, even those who are teaching now. Do we have the curriculum materials to make that possible? Assuming we do, which is a huge assumption, as wide as the Grand Canyon, then do we have the capacity to remake the teacher preparation programs, reflect those new kinds of expectations, new kinds of pedagogies, and new kinds of learning standards?
What about the schools of education themselves? I mean, presumably the ones that are teacher mills now could become teacher mills with the Common Core at their center.
Oh, absolutely. I didn't say this was a saving grace or a lifeboat. I said this is an impetus for change. Degree mills need to be closed by states. This is an extraordinary time for states to act. Remember, accreditation is not a requirement in many states for a person to teach. So states have to, they have an authority called reauthorization, and they have to use it, which means they can review the existing programs against a set of standards, which don't have to be the CAPE standards, but they'd certainly be CAPE-like.
CAPE is C-A-E-P, the Council for the Accreditation of Educator Preparation.
And they really ought to close the worst of their ed schools. This is a time in which school systems are not hiring nearly as many teachers as they once did. We're overproducing teachers. This is a time to limit the number by eliminating the worst. There's no state in this country that can't do that.
Well, handicap this politically. How likely do you think it is that states and or schools of education will press for these higher accreditation standards? How hard is the road that you have to hoe?
I testified a few weeks ago before the Senate Higher Education, Labor, and Pensions Committee. The focus of the session that I was testifying at was entirely on accreditation, so that I think there's an enormous interest in accreditation at the federal level. I think at the state level, the difficulty we're facing now is that a number of states had been accustomed to the weak accreditation of the past. And then I think if the changes that CAPE approved are actually enacted, we're going to see more states move toward them as the judge for the quality of their institutions. So I think there's enough impetus and enough caring about this, enough dissatisfaction with the quality of teacher education in this country for changes to be made. Will education schools lead? I don't know. What I can tell you is Woodrow Wilson has a program, and what we're trying to do is transform teacher education. And we're working in 5 states across the entire state, Indiana, Michigan, Ohio, New Jersey, and Georgia. Every one of them has been asked to profoundly change its program. They've been asked to introduce programs that have very, very high admission standards. They've been asked to introduce programs that are clinically based, that are co-constructed with school districts, that include 3 years of mentoring, that involve arts and sciences, so we get content, and ed schools, so we get pedagogy. And they've been asked to create faculties that integrate clinical faculty and academic faculty. Those are huge changes to ask of ed schools. Every ed school we've worked with has made the changes successfully, every one of them. So I'm terribly optimistic about what's possible.
Well, Arthur Levine, thank you very much.
My pleasure.
Arthur Levine is president of the Woodrow Wilson National Fellowship Foundation and author of many articles on education reform. You can find more podcasts about teacher training and performance-based standards at our website, AmericanRadioWorks.org. While you're there, browse the archive of more than 100 documentary projects and let us know what you think of our coverage. AmericanRadioWorks.org. We're on Facebook at American.RadioWorks, and you can follow us on Twitter at AM Radio Works. Support for American Radio Works comes from the Spencer Foundation, the William and Flora Hewlett Foundation, and Lumina Foundation. I'm Stephen Smith. Thanks for listening. This is APM, American Public Media.